Hey everyone, my name is Zach Hanen, and thank you for checking out the message today. We are so glad that you are here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text the phrase River Connect to 97,000, and we'll answer any questions that you may have. But if you also want more information, you can check out theriverchurch.cc and find out all the information you want on there as well. And finally, if you'd like to support our ministry financially, we'd like to offer you an opportunity to do that. You can click the Give tab on our website, or you can text the amount you'd like to give to 84321. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good evening. How are you all tonight? Yeah? That was a little weak. How are you all tonight? Yeah? So I'm used to getting students involved, so are you excited to be here tonight? Yes, I am too. I'm so thankful to be here with you. So thankful to be able to share God's word with you for just a bit tonight. And my name is Gary Wright. I'm the location pastor at the River Church in Burton. Okay, so I came a long ways down here to see you guys. But you look good. You look good tonight. But tonight we're going to be in the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them up to Psalm 23, okay? A little bit about Justin. So I've known Justin for several years. He's a great guy. He's funny. He's fun to be around. He comes up with some crazy games for the student camps, but you all are blessed to have him as your leader here. He's an awesome guy. So let me pray, and then we'll jump into this. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are, our creator, our savior. And Lord, I just pray that you open our hearts up to your word tonight. Help me to be faithful to your word. Move me out of the way, Lord, and just speak to us through your word. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a little about me. I love the outdoors. I love everything about it. My dad loved the outdoors as well. He raised me and my brothers hunting and fishing, camping. My dad had a couple hunting dogs when we were growing up. Actually, we had quite a few hunting dogs over the years. But so, of course, when I became an adult, I got my own hunting dogs, and I had them for a long time. I no longer have them, but I had two dogs at one time. Their names were Charlie and Duke, and they were beagles. Great dogs, great dogs. And I would hunt with these dogs most every Saturday. And once a year, me and my brothers, and even when my dad was around, we would head up to Atlanta, way up north, and we would either hunt for the weekend or we would at least hunt for Saturday. Well, one of the years when I had Charlie and Duke, me and my brothers had a trip planned up to Atlanta, and I ended up having to work. So I told them, just take the dogs, go on up, have a good time, and that's what they did. And when they were up there, halfway through the day, well, beagles are kind of stubborn dogs. So if you're familiar with beagles at all, you'll understand this. They got separated from the dogs. They could not find them. They looked until dark, and they ended up having to leave the dogs up there, which devastated me because I was pretty tight with the dogs, pretty close. We had like this working relationship, but a week goes by. Well, let me tell you this first. On their collars, I had my phone number and my name. And this is how long ago it was. I still had a landline. So that was the number that was on the collars. But the hope was somebody would find the dogs, call me up, I'd run up and get them. But after a week, no calls. And I actually was so worried, I drove up there. There was a fresh snow one night. I took a day off from work. I drove up there, and I drove all the roads. And anywhere where there were dog tracks crossing the road, I would get out and call for them. I couldn't find them. Another week goes by, and I'm to the point where I'm like, I'm not going to get them back. Either somebody has them or something else has happened. And I started looking for new dogs, honestly. I called around. I found a couple. And when I got home that night, I talked to my wife. We were actually on our way out to get Chinese food. I'm like, I found a couple dogs. I don't think I'm going to get Duke and Charlie back. And she said, she asked me this question. She said, have you been praying about this? And honestly, I hadn't been. Because at that point in my spiritual walk, I believed that God had, he was too busy or had more important things to do. And I hadn't prayed about it at all. We get home with our Chinese food. We set the table. My kids were young then. They were there. And my wife says, I'll pray. And she prayed. And she said, she prayed that if the dogs were still around and somebody found them, they would find a good home. Or more, she prayed more importantly that I would get them back. Now, God doesn't always answer prayers like this. And I don't want to give you a false hope. Sometimes it's got to be in God's will. But I did not take a bite of my food and my telephone rang. And I'm not kidding. I walked over, picked it up. I said, hello, lady on the other end says, is this Gary? I said, you have my dogs. She said, I have one of them. I said, well, what color is his collar? They had different color collars. He had a green collar. It was Charlie. So me and my daughter jump in the truck. It's a school night, a work night, and we head up to Atlanta 3.5 hours away. But I tell you that story for this reason. God cares about every aspect of our lives. He cares about us. He cares about every detail, all right? And I hope you believe that. And honestly, in the 23rd Psalm, that's really what David, the author of the Psalm, is writing about. And this Psalm, let's read it. I'll read it, the whole thing. There's only 6 verses. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that passage. The 23rd Psalm is probably, it's easily the most familiar passage in the Psalm. And I would argue that it's probably the most familiar passage in Scripture. Even folks who don't know the Lord know this passage. I mean, have any of you heard of it? Yeah? Where do we normally hear this passage? At funerals. At funerals. And it's unfortunate because honestly, it's not about death. It's about trusting God in our walk with him. It's about trusting him in the small, every detail of our life. And throughout Scripture, Jesus is referred to as our shepherd. And if we are believers, we're referred to as his sheep because we follow him. We follow the shepherd, okay? And the 23rd Psalm, like I already said, is written by David. And David was a shepherd boy. He grew up, his family were all shepherds, but he took care of the flocks when he was a boy. When he was an adult, he was appointed king of Israel by God. He was the shepherd of Israel. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. But David also knew what it meant to be a sheep. Because the very first verse in our passage, David says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." That makes David a sheep, a follower of the shepherd, right? And it's not known if David wrote this passage when he was a boy or a man. I tend to believe he was older in life, and this is why. Because the way this is written, it's written by somebody who has been tested and tried in their lifetime. And they've learned to rely on God, and they've learned that he cares about every detail of their life. And David is putting these thoughts into words in this passage. And then if we go on and we finish up verses 1 and 2, it says, because David, or the Lord is David's shepherd, he says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And when I read this as a kid, and honestly, probably even as an adult for a while, when I read, I shall not want, I thought, okay, I'm not supposed to want anything. I don't understand that. But what it means is the Lord will provide for our needs. We don't need to want for our needs because when we are his sheep, he provides for our needs. Just like a shepherd provides for his flock, the Lord provides for us. Paul writes in Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus is talking and he says, we don't need to be anxious about our needs, what we drink, what we wear, what we eat. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Look, when the good shepherd supplies our needs, when we are seeking him, when we are his sheep, he's going to supply us. That's good news. And it's it's not our wants that he supplies. I told you I love to fish. One of my wants is this. I have this little small fishing boat. But my dream is to have like this 20-foot Lund boat all decked out. And I wish that the Lord would supply that. And maybe he will someday. But that's not the promise he's promising. Like, we all have these wants, these things that we want. But what the Lord's talking about, and we have to make sure we keep it clear, he supplies what we need. Okay? But he goes on and he says, he talks about green pastures and still waters. A shepherd would lead his flock into green pastures. They had plenty to eat. And still waters, sheep don't like fast-running water. So the shepherd would block off the stream and let it pool up so the sheep wouldn't be afraid. And when they had plenty to eat and they weren't afraid, guess what they did? They laid down. They rested. And look, we are the same. With the Lord taking care of our needs, he gives us rest, okay? He gives us rest. We can rely on him, and there's rest in that. The Lord providing our needs, sometimes it doesn't seem like he's fulfilling that promise. You ever been there? But if we are patient, the Lord is always faithful. If we are following him, he is always faithful to fill our needs, to supply our needs. Paul writes about it in Philippians 4:11-13. He talks about being in need, and he learned how to be content, whether he's hungry or he has plenty. And he says this is how I can do that, because I can do that do that all things through Christ who strengthens me. Like, we hear this scripture in sports and things like that. That's not what it's talking about. We can have the strength knowing that the Lord's going to provide our needs, and we can trust him because he gives us strength to do that, okay? So the Lord don't only supply our material needs. He supplies our spiritual needs. In verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sheep are some of the hardest farm animals to take care of, because this is why. They like to wander. They're wayward, right? Sometimes I've even heard stories about them going off a cliff and then a whole bunch of them following the front one off, right? Sounds like us, don't it? I hate to say that. That's why the Lord calls us sheep, I think, because we like to go wayward. We see grass over there that looks greener. Where do we want to go? We want to go over to that greener grass, don't we? And sometimes, us as sheep, we wander away from the Lord. We see things that entice us, and it pulls us away. But the Lord says this: he wants to restore our soul. He wants us to bring us back to the right path, to the right pasture, if you will. Matthew 18:12, Jesus says this: if a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go search for the one who went astray? That is awesome about our Lord. When we wander away, he comes after us. And listen, I want to tell you this. In my younger days, I struggled with addiction myself. I struggled with addiction. And there was times where I didn't think I could beat it. There really was. And sometimes I would go long periods of time without going back to it. But then I would fall into it, or I would go astray. And I would want to quit trying. But the truth is, I honestly thought the Lord is upset with me. He's not going to want me back. And I would just quit trying. I would just keep going wayward. But that's not the truth. The Lord will leave the 99 for you. He will. He will. He wants you. He cares about you. He not only takes care of our spirit, or our material needs, our spiritual needs, but he also protects us. Even though I walk, this is verse 4, I believe. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As a shepherd leading their flocks, there's mountain, think of a mountainous area. There would be a green pasture over here. The shepherd would feed his sheep over here. And the grass would kind of start getting low or down low, and they would travel across through the valley to a pasture on the other mountain. But going through the valley was dangerous. And here's why. There would be thieves there that would want to steal the sheep. There would be predators there. But the shepherd had two tools. He had a rod, which was like a long stick, and it had a pointed end. So if a predator or somebody came to mess with the sheep, he could fight them off. And he also had a staff, which has the shepherd hook on the end. And when the sheep get nervous and they start to wander away, he could gently pull them back in. Because here's why. There's protection in the flock. There's protection in the numbers. A predator is less likely to go after the flock, but they're more likely to go to one who's wandered off a little bit, okay? So he would pull them back in. In our life, the valleys are hardships that we deal with in life. Hardships. Things that, like, we question why God allows them to happen. And things that are difficult, death, sickness, why do these things happen? There's hardships that happen. And David, but I want you to understand this, the Lord is with us in these valleys, and we're going to talk about it. And David, he goes from speaking about the Lord, saying the word he, to first person, he's saying, you, Lord, are with me. He's speaking to the Lord. You are with me. He's saying, when we are in these valleys, the Lord is not in front of us or behind us. He's right next to us, right? He is with us. And David knew him personally, and he's saying, you are with me. And when we know him personally, when we are his sheep, we can speak of him the same way. The sheep were comforted by his rod and his staff. They were comforted by the shepherd. And when we trust the shepherd, when we trust Jesus, we can have that comfort too. We can actually have peace. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and I'm be honest, these are two of my favorite passages of Scripture. Paul writes, do not be anxious about anything. Don't fear is what he's saying. You don't have to fear. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When I read this passage, I think of a boxer, right? I love to watch these old YouTube clips of like Muhammad Ali and Manny Pacquiao and Mike Tyson. They're just great fighters. But Manny Pacquiao especially had a defense like this. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, when you're feeling anxious, when you're fearful, your first guard is this, prayer. Pray about everything, he says. And he also says this, do it with thanksgiving in your heart. Has the Lord done something incredible in your life? Who would say yes? I would say yes. And when we pray about something, we can remember how the Lord has taken care of us in the past. That is our other guard. He keeps us from getting whacked in the face, right? We don't have to fear. We can have this peace beyond all understanding. In the next scripture, David goes from talking about the Lord as a shepherd to talking about him as a host, okay? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. David had a lot of enemies in his life. Probably one of the main ones was a guy named King Saul who chased him all over the countryside trying to kill him, right? David had to hide out. But in our life, what's one of the main things we struggle with? For me, is temptation. Temptation, right? Sometimes when I was struggling with my addiction, I was so tempted. Sometimes I'm like, how can I ever stand up under this weight? How can I How can I deal with this? And I would pray, God, will you take this temptation away from me? But does he do that all the time? He does not. And I'm sorry to tell you that. He does not, because that desire comes from us. But how do we overcome it? How do we overcome it? The main thing, I think we can use Jesus as an example. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he overcame temptation with the word of God. This is our best defense for temptation. And I'm going to be honest, when I was struggling with temptation or struggling with my addiction and temptation, I had scripture that I went to regularly. I had it memorized. There's a verse, I think it's in one of the Corinthians, that says, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. When I felt tempted, I would think to myself, I don't have the right to act on this temptation because Jesus paid the price for that. He went to the cross for that. Temptation is not a sin unless we act on it. And the word of God is our defense. Look, when we're regularly in God's word, we're in God's presence. We're in his presence. And that's what David's talking about when he says, you anoint my head with oil. When people would travel to someone's home for a meal, they would wash their feet and they would anoint their head. And it was to refresh them. When we're in God's word, we are refreshed by God. He gives us strength to stand up under our temptations. And listen, I still am tempted sometimes. But the longer I go and the more I'm in God's word, the less that is there. But I mean, I'm always on guard for that. We can be in God's word and he will refresh us. We can be in his presence. He will refresh us. And I have to tell you these two other things that are really important when it comes to temptation as well. Stay away from the temptation. Because this is what I would do. I would get this temptation and I would walk right to the edge. Right to the edge where I either had to step forward or step back. Stay away from the edge. Don't go near it. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to jump in. If you're that tempted, you're going to jump. That's what I did. Okay? The other thing I want to share with you is this. When you're feeling tempted, don't be alone. Don't be alone. Listen, this place is filled. There's leaders in here that are willing to pray with you and come alongside you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. People together, Christians together, they build each other up, right? And these people should be people you trust, people that are going to tell you the truth, people that are going to kick you in the pants when you need to be kicked in the pants, right? Those are the people we need in our life. Don't be alone. God says when we're in his presence, well, let me read Romans 8:31. Paul says it this way. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Nothing. If you skip down farther in the same passage, verse 37, this is Romans 8:37. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Lord cares about every aspect of our life. When I got the phone call about my dogs, me and my daughter jumped in the Suburban. We drove all the way to Atlanta. I was turning on the street where the lady lived. Somebody called my landline again back home, and they had my other dog. He was 2 miles away, right? He was 2 miles away. My son sent me the number. I called the lady, got her address. My dogs were about starved to death, but they were fine once I nursed them back to health. The Lord cares, right? And to really know, for any of this really to be a part of our lives, for the Lord to meet our needs and to do all these things for us, we have to, this is the criteria for this passage. The previous chapter before this is about the crucifixion of Jesus. We have to know the shepherd, and we have to be his sheep if we want this. Jesus says this in John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How do we become sheep? First thing we have to realize is that we are rebellious against God. The Bible calls that sinning. We have to realize we're sinners. Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 6, that we are all like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're all sinners. But the good news is this. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, but he, Jesus, the good shepherd, was pierced for our transgressions, for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquity. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. We are healed. And we are healed because of his grace and what he did on the cross and through our faith. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And once we do that, we follow our Lord. John 10:27-28, Jesus says this, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The last verse in our passage in Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we come to Jesus, when we come to the Good Shepherd like this, we are his friend. Dwelling in the house talks of communion, friendship, and we will have eternity with him. My question is this, as I close out. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you truly know him? Do you trust him? Do you understand you're a sinner? There's going to be a time to respond. There's going to be the table leaders, I think they're called. This is my first time here, I'm sorry. The table leaders will be up front here. If you want to talk to them about anything you're struggling with, or if you want to know how to meet this good shepherd, please come up for prayer and a conversation. Thank you for listening tonight. Let me pray for you, and we will have a worship song before we go. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truthfulness of it. We thank you for the good shepherd who laid down his life for us, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone in here that don't know you, that tonight would be their night. I pray for anyone in here who's has a struggle going on right now, that they would come forward and not to deal with this alone, Lord. Lord, we thank you for tonight, and we ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.